الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, because we will be going to various chapters in Quran, and then you just follow along with me. That is the only required book for this class, is to have a copy of Quran. And by the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's class is basically, we're going to be talking about death. We are going to die. I'm going to get into that in a moment. I did an episode about this before, but I want to put it a little twist to this one. And that is, we're going to get to, like, basically near the end, we're going to talk about, and I want you to think about it now, and maybe you have an answer in your later. You can answer this question later. Or ask friends this question that I'll get ready to ask you in a moment, what this class is all about. And what it is that, say, for example, you only have 24 hours until your death. You have 24 hours until you die. Right now, none of us know when we're going to die. Even if you're in the hospital and you have a certain amount of time to live, according to the doctors or nurses, whomever, your primary caretakers, they really don't know. They can guesstimate, but they really don't know, because no one knows except for Allah. He sends the death angel to you, and then that angel draws your soul from your body, and that's it, at the time and the place that Allah wants it to happen. But before that time, it's not going to happen. So I want you to think about it. If you only have 24 hours to live, what will you do with those 24 hours before your death? So let me go on and just say a few things about death from the Islamic perspective. And then you have time to think about your answer to my question. Allah says in the Quran, in the 29th chapter, the 57th verse, again, turn to 29th chapter, and the 57th verse, which is 5-7, okay? And I'm going to read a bit out in Arabic, and then I'm going to translate into English, a rough translation. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, thumma ilayna turja'un. And so it says here, it says every soul will taste death. That's each and every one of us. The people before us, the people that are present now, and the people that come after us. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Thumma ilayna turja'un. every soul would taste death. Then to us, you will all be returned. Thum Elena Turjaun. Every one of us will taste death. Every one of us will return to Allah and stand before Allah. Each and every one of us. If you believe or don't believe, this is what's going to happen. I'm just giving you a heads up. I'm just letting you know from Islamic perspective, this is what's going to happen. Maybe your faith, maybe they don't mention these kinds of things. But Islam, we mention these things. We mention what happened to the person before they live, why they're living, and upon their death, and what happened to them after their death. So Islam covers all those basic things. Before you live, while you're living, and after you live or die, and then after that, there's other things that takes place as what's called a hereafter, or life after death. And so, also, it was mentioned in another verse in the Quran. It's going to be chapter 4, verse 78. Chapter 4, verse 78. And that is, wherever you may be, death will overcome you, even if you were in a fortified tower, or fortified towers. It doesn't matter. If you're in a fort, surrounded by guards, high walls, in the middle of that building that you're in, bulletproof glass, it doesn't matter. When the time to come, when the F angel comes, Malakul Maut, when the death angel comes, and they're trying to take your soul, they do not listen to anyone. You can plead all you want, beg all you want, offer anything that you want, but it's not going to help you whatsoever. You can't fend off and say, no, I'm not ready to die today. Come back tomorrow. Or see me after my meeting, and then I might be ready to die at that time. We don't have a choice in that matter. We didn't have a choice in being born, and we didn't have a choice in dying. Those are two times you have no decision whatsoever. You did not say, oh, parents, get together and make me a person. No, that's not how it works. So you didn't have any call or any say, and you weren't at the table when it came to you being created or you being in the human who you are right now, and nor you going to be at the table negotiating when you're going to die and how you're going to die and where you're going to die. You don't have that strength and that power like that. None of us do. And so, also it mentions in chapter 62, verse 8. Again, chapter 62, verse 8. And it says, tell them the death from which you are running away will surely overtake you. Then you will be sent back to him who knows the unseen and the seen. And he will tell you all that you have been doing. You cannot escape. You cannot hide. I don't care how rich you are or how poor you are. Nothing you can do or how much you bury yourself underneath something, Allah will find you. If people that like to be cremated, And they only have ashes, Allah could put all those ashes together and make you human again, and then you have to deal with the consequences. That's just it. That's just the way it is. If Allah can make a man from nothing, which is Adam, and then make Eve from nothing, there's Eve, and Adam made from a man nor a woman. Eve made from, don't even have a woman there. And then also you have Jesus did not have a man involved with impregnating his mother Maryam, or Mary as you call her. None whatsoever. So it's easy for Allah to take ashes when you burn yourself up and bring it back together and make you a human again. All they got to do is say, kun fayakun, be, and it is there. But I'm gonna move on. And so it doesn't matter where you run to or where you hide to. Allah will find you, or the angels will find you. The angel of death gonna do the job that the angel of death is supposed to do. So let me read this next one, and it's gonna come from chapter 10, verse 56. That's chapter 10, verse 56. And that is, he is the one who gives life and causes death. And to him you shall all return, as I read to you all earlier about the people returning to the Ya'un. So, my beautiful students, understand, you cannot hide. You cannot run. You cannot out-negotiate the angel. Don't take me now, take me. You might be the greatest negotiator in the world, the greatest con artist in the world. And necessary, those two people are the same. And you won't be able to tell the angel, con your way out or negotiate your way out until with the angel say, look, you know, I'm not ready to go. Or tell this lie, that lie, like some kind people do, to get the angel to change his mind. No, the angel gonna do what they're supposed to do. Or like you got angels right now with the horns to the horns or trumpets, whatever you want to call them, to their mouth right now. All they doing waiting for Allah to what? To tell them to blow the horn for the day of judgment to begin. They obey what Allah says. Well, Angel Jibril, when he got the book from Allah, Kitab, all the various books, in particular the last one, Revelation to Mankind, which is Quran, he brought it down to Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, verse by verse, and chapter by chapter, until he learned the whole thing by heart. And that's what he did. He obeyed what Allah told him to do. You have an angel that oversees the hellfire, obeying what Allah tells them to do. That's it. They obey. We are the ones, human beings, we're the ones that say, okay, I'll take choice. Give me choice. Don't make me just do that and do this or do that. You have a choice. So we took it. So now we have to deal with the choice, whatever choice that we make. If we make a bad choice, we have to deal with it. If we make a good choice, we have to deal with it. But you're always going to come throughout life to the fork in the road. Are you gonna go to your right, or are you gonna go to the left? To the right are all things that are good for you and better for you and more healthy for you. And to the left of that is the opposite down that road. So as much as possible, don't go down the left. Try to go down the right as much as possible. Do what's right as much as possible. Do right to yourself and to others to the best of your ability. And so I'm gonna move on to just basically to one more time. I want you to talk about your give me an answer to your question. But before that, I want you also to understand one more thing, which is going to be very, very surprising to you. And that is, I talked about how death itself comes to us. It takes our soul. The death angel takes our soul from our body. I talked to you before about the angel basically coming, the person getting ready to die. And so you have the angel at their head, the angel of death at the person's head, and they're drawing the person out. If they're a disbeliever, do not obey Allah, they draw them out from their body in a kind of a vicious way, if you will. And the body or the soul is trying not to come out the body because it knows it will have to face. It's like the veins are popping and breaking off from connection to the body. Just pop it all over the place. Until that's it, they're gone. Because the angel is going to complete their job. They're not going to like, okay, this person is crying or whatever. No, it's not going to work like that. They're going to do their job. When it's my turn, the angel is going to do their job. And when it's your time, the angel is going to do their job without any doubt. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul will have a taste of death. And so, I talked about right now, I talk about how it will come to us, death. But let me say this other thing to you before I get to my initial questions that I asked you all, which was the whole thing about if you only had 24 hours to live, what would you do? I want you to still think about that. What would you do? What changes will you make in your life? Knowing that in 24 hours, that's it, I'm done. But let me move on. Even death itself will die. So you say, yeah, man, what you mean by that? Yes, even death itself will also put to death. And I'll explain that through this one narration of Prophet Muhammad, peace be blessed upon him, Ibn Umar, son of Umar, he said, or he reported, Allah's messenger, may peace be blessed upon him, said, when the people of paradise have entered paradise and the people of hell have entered hell, to the hellfire, death will be brought and will be placed between the fire and paradise. And then it will be slaughtered. And a call will be made that, O people of paradise, no more death. O people of hell, no more death. So the people of paradise will have happiness added to their previous happiness. And the people of the fire will have sorrow added to their previous sorrow. And so I want you all to know that and to understand what I mean by that. And that is, death itself will die. Because, understand this. This is from me. I'm trying to explain so you understand a little bit better what I just read. And that is, you have the people that go into the fire, they go to the fire. Okay, people go to paradise, they go to paradise, they enter both places. They enter into paradise and they enter the hellfire. And place Baina between them will be death. Then at that point, Allah, not people in paradise or people in hellfire will do this, but Allah will slaughter death. Death to death. That's it. So in other words, I say it in this way, no more dying. In other words, those people who are in paradise, they will not die. That's it for them. They will live forever in paradise because they earned paradise. They did what Allah told them to do. Allah said, don't drink, don't fornicate, don't commit adultery, those kind of things. These are the things that he stayed away from. Don't steal. Obey me, worship me. They did these things. And so they earned paradise. No death for these people. Never, ever would it be death for those people. And those people who did the opposite, did not worship Allah, and they fornicated, and they drunk, and they gambled, and they cheated people, all these things they did, and they hurt people. These people will end up in the hellfire of Al-Nur. They will end up in the hellfire and no death to those people either. Those people cannot die out of the fire and get some relief, I guess, because now I'm dead. The fire cannot no longer burn me. It doesn't work like that. You're in the hellfire and you receive the punishment of the hellfire that you earned. And please, my beautiful students, listen to me. Talib Ilm, those are you are the learned ones of the student. You're seeking the knowledge. So I want you to understand that it's not too late for you to change if you decide I don't want to be Muslim anymore, I don't want to be Muslim at all, whatever the case may be. That's your choice. But whatever choice you make, wherever way on the fork of the road that you go, you have to go with the consequences of it. If you decide again to go down the left side, as I mentioned earlier, then you face the consequences of going down that left side road in that fork. If you decide to go the right side, then you go towards the right and the goodness that come out coming to the right side. It's your choice. You could decide now, I'm going to start doing what is right. Because I don't know when I'm going to die. None of us know when we're going to die. None of us. You could have, and this is worldwide, you could have cancer, be of a state, whatever stage of cancer, whatever serious disease that you have. And they said, okay, you at stage whatever, and you only have but so long to live, but it's all in the hands of Allah, how long you live. Live way beyond the time that people say you're going to die, and also you may die way before the time that people say you're going to live up into. But it's all in the hands of Allah. It's all written. It's all written in your book. And so, my beautiful students, understand that if you're placed in the hellfire, no death in the hellfire. That's it. And if you place in a hellfire, of course, it's a place where people suffer, and that people, oh, you know, such a thing at the hellfire. There's such a place. And in Islam, you read more and more, Islam explains all this. Before you live, while you're in the body of your mother, while you're living, and after you die, and beyond that, as I mentioned to you before. Islam lays that whole thing out for you. It lays it out. Some faith, they don't lay it out like that. I'm not doubting any faith. At all, I'm just saying what the Islamic faith talks about. And so you understand us, because many people out there, and that's why I have this program, so people have a better understanding about Islam. And this is what the name of this program is, Islamic Faith in Focus, trying to get you more to understand Islamic faith. People are going to say all kinds of things about the faith of Islam, all kinds of things. They're going to make you hate Islam and hate Muslims. And you don't even know why you're doing so, only because they said so. But that's not enough. You are intelligent people. Read for yourself what Islam really says. Don't go by those naysayers and the haters. Read for yourself. And if what they're saying is correct and you read, all right, then you go by that if you want to. But read it, and I pray Allah open up your eyes and your ears and your heart, and don't be so deaf, dumb, and blind to the understanding of Islam. I'm just putting out to you, I'm not telling you to become Muslim. I'm not going to do that. But I am just explaining to you what Islam is and what Islam is not. So when people, you get in a conversation at the table or whatever, and you talk about something about Islam, and then you may be the most learned person at that table because you are my students. You have learned about Islam. Are you ready for yourself about Islam and the truth about what Islam really is? And it seems right for me. It fits me. It fits my character. I always want to know, why am I here? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And Allah said, well, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ جِنَّ وَإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And he said that he created us, and it was more to it than that, except to worship him, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. It's to worship him, except to worship Allah. That's why you're here. And that's what we do as Muslims. We worship Allah. And I remember when I first was looking for Islam, I was in another faith, and that faith did not satisfy me internally. But then I looked into Islam and read about Islam. I said, okay, I like this. I like what they're saying. I do 5 daily prayers to remind me throughout the day about Allah and Allah's greatness. Not go all day and maybe pray in the morning or pray at night or pray on some other day during the week. No. Every day during the week, at least 5 times a day, I had to pray to Allah and remind and work my day around my prayers and not my prayers around my day. And it keeps me connected between Allah and myself. It keeps me connected to Allah. And I know how much that I need Allah in my being, in my presence. He's there with me all the time and taking care of me and watching over me. Allah has angels and behind you and in front of you. When something come at you that's going to harm you, the angels are protecting you in the front and in the back. And then you have the angel on your right side, your left side, shoulders. Right, one on your right side, writing down your good deeds, and then one on your left side, writing down your bad deeds. So they all around, all kind of protection from Allah. And we may do our pray to Allah. Maybe something that's supposed to be hurting you or going to hurt you, Allah may shift it and not let it hurt you. You just got to pray to Allah. It's a simple thing. You have to believe in Allah. Oh, I can't see Allah, whatever. You can't see air either, but you know it's there. You have to believe in Allah and ask Allah to open your heart to faith and understanding and belief in Allah. It's a simple thing to do. You have the media, you have politicians, you have others that are saying negative things about Islam. And so, but you can read for yourself. You're intelligent. Don't go by what they say, because they want to get reelected, so they're going to scare tactics. I'm your savior, so listen to me. And these people over here, they're no good. I'm going to save you from these people. Of course, people are flocked to the individual. Oh, these are evil people. These are demonic people. These are evil. These are like the devil over here. And this person over here is going to save me. He's going to be my superhero and save me from the devil. No, that's not it. Islam is not a demonic religion. It's a very spiritual religion, one that connects a person between them and Allah at least five times in a day. And at more times when a person is, for example, when you go to the store and they give you too much change. You give them one amount of money, you're supposed to get less than what they return, and then Islam is there with you. In your heart and your soul. And so you say, look, sir, you gave me too much money. Madam, you gave me too much money. I'm only supposed to get this smaller amount of change and not this large amount of change. People will complain they got less what they're supposed to get. So be honest and be a good person and tell the person you gave me more. Because what happens is that person, Trey, where they have the money, comes up short. That money's coming from them. They made a mistake. And they gave you too much money, give the money back. And in the spirit of Islam, for us, we do it. People look at us in a surprising way. But we, for the most part, that's what we do. We give the money, give that back to the people, because it's not right for me to take that money from that individual. So Islam is with us all the time. And so I want to also go back to my original question that I told you to think about. If you only have 24 hours to live, 24 hours from this time to tomorrow, not a minute or a second after that time tomorrow, you're going to die. What would you do? What different things would you do? Because you say, well, I'm going to give more charity, whatever. Okay. You have to think about, if you only have that little bit amount of time, just 20, not days, not weeks, not hours, not months or years. You want to have just minutes or 24 hours in which you're going to die. After that, no more you, no more family, no more money, no more car, no more house, no more job, whatever it is, no more. So what would you do? And for me, I will worship Allah much more than even what I'm doing right now. Give more charity, much more than I'm doing right now. Be good and kind towards people, much more. Ask people to please forgive me if I hurt them in any kind of way, because I won't be able to do this after this time. I won't be looking for sympathy from people. I'm going to die 24 hours, look for them, get from them. No. It's the opposite for me. I would want to give to them, not receive from them some sympathy. Oh, you're going to die. That guy, no. I want to give you all that I can. I'm going to help you all I can, because I want much on my plate as possible, in my book as possible, the good deeds in that 24-hour. and I'm alhamdulillah, I'm glad that I'm Muslim, and I believe in Allah, and I worship Allah. And so I'm just saying to you all, you get a better understanding about Islam, and you get a better understanding about death and dying. What will you do if you only have 24 hours to live? You have been listening to the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.